A very good afternoon, and we have come to Acts chapter 19, and here we have the incident of Paul coming to the city of Ephesus. Now, there are a few things that I want to mention in chapter 18, and I hope this will connect us to chapter 19. Now, if you look at chapter 18 and verse 18, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And then we also look at verse 19, and he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. And then we will come down to verse 21. But bid them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I'll return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now this morning we were talking about Paul in Corinth. And in Corinth he met a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and I kept saying that they became co-laborers with Paul. So now we have read that they actually sailed with Paul to Ephesus. So it is evident that they left aside their job. Remember, they were tent makers, all right, to be in the ministry with Paul. Okay, verse 18 tells us an interesting thing. We are told that Paul shaved his hair because of a vow. Do you remember the vow of the Jews that requires them to have their head shaved? Yes, that's right. That is the vow of a Nazarite. Okay, the Nazarite vow requires a Jew who make that vow to have his head shaved. Okay, so probably, most likely, Paul took that Nazarite vow. Who else took that vow? Well, we know Samson took that vow. We also know that Samson took that vow, and then John the Baptist took that vow. Okay, so we have several of them who has taken that Nazarite vow, and for that reason, we are told in verse 18 that he shaved his head. And then in verse 21 of chapter 18, we are told that he wanted to go and keep a feast in Jerusalem. Okay, so he came to Ephesus. He actually left Ephesus because he wants to keep the feast in Jerusalem. Right, what is that feast? Well, it is probably the feast of the Passover, and a Bible scholar did some calculation, and they realized that it was a feast that they keep in the winter. Okay, and that is the feast of the Passover. Now, if Paul went back to Jerusalem in AD 52 and during the winter time, so that he may keep the feast of the Passover, now, he only traveled back to Ephesus a few months later, all right, because it will be too cold for him to travel during the winter period to go back to Ephesus. Now, why did he choose to do that? Well, to keep the feast, because he has kept the vow and he wanted to perform the ritual of the vow, that is to keep the feast. Okay. Why did he choose to do it in the winter? Well, many Bible scholars believe that he did it because he's taking a break. Okay. Now, we have said this morning that Paul is a man like we are. Alright, he needed rest. Okay, we have been reading about him, and he has been traveling from city to city in his missionary journey. Now, it is one evident in the record of the scripture that Paul actually did take a break. Okay, he needs to be renewed in strength. He needs to be recharged. He needs that break. Okay. And he chose it in such a manner that he could keep the feast, take that break, prepare himself for the next missionary journey. And then we come to chapter 19. Now, chapter 19 is the start of his third missionary journey. Paul had three journeys in his lifetime. Alright? We have been talking a lot about his second missionary journey. And this afternoon, we are looking at the third missionary journey. Now, if you read his entire third missionary journey, you'll realize that one city was his focus. And that was the city of Ephesus. Okay. And a lot was said about Ephesus in his third missionary. We also have read, now John read beyond what I asked, to be read for the scripture reading, which is good because he gives us the context. We are told that Paul stayed 3 years in Ephesus, warning the church, telling the elders of the church to be careful that after his departure, there will be wolves coming in. Now, what does that mean? Paul realized that when he leaves, there will be false teachers. And more likely, they are the unbelieving Jews that will come into the church and tell them what you have believed is wrong. Okay? So Paul knew it, and he spent much of his third missionary journey in Ephesus just to warn the people. And it was also here, if you read carefully, chapter 19:20, Paul also hinted to the believers that this will be his last journey. Okay. Now, Paul probably realized that his martyrdom is coming soon. Okay. Now, I believe that. Okay, and many Bible scholars think that when he said that I will not see you again, meant that he realized his martyrdom would be soon. Now, chapter 19 is a very long chapter we just read. Okay, and we can't possibly look at everything that is mentioned here, but there are three things that we want to look at this afternoon. Right, first of all, we want to see that in this city, he found a group of John's disciples. Okay. Secondly, we see that he found a place to do his teaching. It was in the school of Tyrannus. And then lastly, we want to see that his ministry resulted in the destruction of all the books of magic. So we read that. We will come to it. Let's talk a little bit about the city of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a famous ancient city. And I want to tell you that it is still a famous city today. Because many people who visit that part of Turkey, all right, would go to visit the temple of Diana. The Roman called that temple Diana. The Greek call it Artemis. Okay, and it is a well-known ancient temple. And in fact, it was known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Okay, and we know that this temple is a very immoral temple. Alright, because immorality was practiced in the temple of Diana. Ephesus is a coastal city where ships come and then they will do their commerce, you know, and from there they will move to other ports. You know, in ancient time, even today, all right, cities where there are ports of call where ships come in, there tend to be immorality. And so Ephesus was well known in ancient time for this. Now we want to come and see, first of all, that it was here that Paul Paul found a group of people who were John's disciple. Verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Now, who are these disciples? Are they Christ's disciples? No, because verse 2 tells us, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they say unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there will be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they say, unto John's baptism. Okay? So, they say they were baptized by John. Remember, Jesus saw John the apostle, John the Baptist. Okay? In the gospel. And John was baptizing his disciples. So, apparently, John the Baptist had disciples. And Jesus said, baptize me. Now, that story, you know. And so, you have this group of followers of John the Baptist in Ephesus. And so, when Paul found them, Paul asked them a very interesting question. He says, have ye received the Holy Ghost? Now, when you meet someone and somebody says, I do go to church, you know, I do go to church, all right, and I go to such and such a church. Now, the next question you normally ask would be, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But Paul did not ask them in this way. He asked, have you received the Holy Spirit? Now, why did he ask the disciples of John the Baptist such a question? Because, first of all, he knew very well that this group of John's followers were unaware of the Pentecost. They were unaware of the Pentecost. They were still living in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament covenant. Right, that means in the period and practice of the Old Testament. So Paul knew that. So he deliberately asked them this question, have you received the Holy Spirit? And the answer was quite straightforward. We have never heard about the Holy Spirit. Now, if they had been following the teaching of the apostles, remember the apostles were given the gospel of the New Testament, they would have known that at Pentecost, God gave the believers the Holy Spirit. They would have known that Jesus Christ says, when I go away, my Father will send you a Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Alright? So, they did not realize. The other thing, Paul wanted us today, the readers, to know some important things. One is that this is a transitional period. What do I mean by transitional period? It's the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You have to move in from the Old and move into the New, right? So there is this transitional period. You know? So there will be people who did not realize that a New Testament believer is one who is baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now some of you may have missed what I said just before the meeting. I said that the Bible says that we are baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ and we become a member of the body. You see that? And the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 19 tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Paul says, keep the temple holy. Now we know what that temple is, right? I hope we realize it's not keep this church clean and it's to keep ourselves, our body, holy. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So this is a transitional period, that there are people who did not realize that the New Testament believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, another thing about the transitional period is this, that during this transitional period, there were many Gentiles who became Christians. Now, remember, in the olden days, for a person who is not a believer of Jehovah God, to be converted to be a believer, he needs to go through a rite, and that is circumcision. Okay? The male of the family, the head of the family, has to go through circumcision because he represents the family. Okay? But when it comes to the New Testament, there's no more circumcision. That's why in the book of Galatians, Paul kept telling the Jews, there's no more circumcision. Faith is by trusting in Jesus Christ, not following a ritual. Go to circumcision, keep the Ten Commandments, don't eat this. No more. Okay? Now, I say that during the transitional period, Gentile came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that the Jews and the Gentiles were believing in the same God? In this transitional period, God allowed certain gifts, spiritual gifts, gifts so that the apostles could exercise in order to tell the people that we are believing in the same God. Now, we have read earlier on, we read about Paul's handkerchief. Okay? And we are told that Paul's handkerchief could heal the sick. Why? Again, we must remember that this was the transitional period. You understand? Yeah. After that, okay, you have never read about using handkerchief, aprons to heal people. No more. Okay. It's very interesting that in the writing of John the Apostles, the writing of Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, nothing is mentioned about this spiritual gift. Now, this is important. Today, I cannot take out my handkerchief and say, take this home, smell it, and you'll get well. Probably you'll get worse. Okay? The reason is, I sneeze with it, and I ask you to use it. No more. Alright? So, chapter 19 of Acts tells us something very important about the transitional period. Alright? So, we have Paul meeting with this group of disciples who were followers of John the Baptist. Okay? And then we were told that Paul laid hand on them. They have trusted in Jesus. They now say, I believe in Jesus. Alright? Verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, how come they spoke in tongues and prophesied? First of all, we must know that tongues here is a known language. Okay? I can't speak Italian. So, if I get a gift of tongue, I'll be speaking to you in Italian. It is not a learned language. Alright? Because if I tell you I'm speaking in tongue, but I'm speaking in Chinese, Mandarin, many of you would know. Because I learned the language. Okay? No, tongue is a known language. Remember, it's not some sound make, you know, in prayer that is unknown. Gibberish, often mentioned. Okay? Now, our interest is, why did the disciples of John the Baptist, after being baptized, spoke in tongues? Again, this is to prove that they were in the transitional period. How do I know they believe in Jesus? How do I know the belief is true? God allowed them to speak in tongues. Today, how do I know that you are a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you know the Bible. Okay? Because we have the scripture. Remember, in Acts chapter 19, they do not have the Bible. So God allowed them to have special gift. So my brethren, today, our belief is judged by our acceptance of the scripture. You know, if I show you the scripture that Jesus Christ is God, you have to say yes. If you say no, then there is a problem with your belief. I tell you, we must believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Your answer must be yes, because it is taught in the Bible. If you say, I do not believe in the real person of the Holy Spirit, then the belief is not genuine. Secondly, I want you to see that it was in Ephesus that Paul actually found a place to teach. Now, Paul had always been trying to go into the synagogue, but he was never welcome. Okay? Every time when he go into the synagogue and teach, we are told that he got persecuted. Verse 8. And when he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, but when divers were hardened and believed not and made evil of that way. Now remember that way, this morning I mentioned that the Jews called the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ as the followers of the way. Okay? So, but speak evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Okay, so we see that he tried to go into the synagogue to teach the people, but they rejected him. Interestingly, he found a school, okay, and it's called the School of Tyrannus. Alright. And it was in this school that he was welcome to teach and to train disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is one reason why Paul stayed for so long in Ephesus. Alright. Because if you cannot find a place to teach, it's difficult to stay for that long, you know. Yeah. There will be believers who will welcome him, except invite him into their houses. But then to find a place to teach and to train disciples, it's not that easy. But he found a school, and there he taught. Verse 10, and says, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, it says all in Asia. Huh? Remember, in Acts chapter 16, Paul went to Philippi. And Philippi is in Macedonia. We know that it is in Europe. So Paul crossed over to Europe. So chapter 19 tells us that Paul now has returned to Asia, because Ephesus is in the... Now Turkey is an interesting place. Huh? It's a dividing line between the Europe and Asia. So he was in the sight of Asia. And we are told that the gospel spread throughout Asia, because he found a place to teach and to disciple believers. Okay. Now, having said that, I think we thank God that finally new life settled here in Queen's Park. You know? Yesterday I travelled through some of the places that New Life worshipped, okay, in the past. Huh? Alright, the one in Harrow, then in Collinsdale, okay, and then finally we came here. I mean, from a visitor's point of view, I believe that God has given us the best place. So God has given us a place, and here we can come, and we can call this our church. It's here that we have a pulpit where I can preach, and the future minister can preach from. We thank God for that. And I believe Paul is very thankful to God for a place like that. Okay. We come now to the third thing that I want to mention. Okay. That is, in Ephesus, Paul found that it is a place very, very superstitious. Now, every place he went to is superstitious. But this place, superstition lies in the practice of magic. Okay, magical arts. It's a center where people are taught to do tricks. Alright. Now, we are not talking about magic as in illusion, okay? You know, today they're magic and they are basically illusion. Okay, they just actually cause you to lose your perspective such that you view things not there. Alright? Things that are not there seems to be there. Okay? But this is not about illusion. This is magic performed with the power of evil spirit. Alright. So if you look at verse 13 of chapter 19, then when certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which are evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. For there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Okay. Now, there are certain Jews who are trying to perform miracles in the name of Jesus. But actually, they were people who practice magic. Alright? And the Spirit cried out and says, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? Now I want to tell you that the evil spirit identifies you as a believer. Okay, Paul, I know. Obviously, Jesus, the spirit, the evil spirit, knew. Okay? So, my brothers and sisters, it is not a strange thing if someone is attacked by the evil spirit. Now, let me get this right. I'm not saying that the spirit can possess you. You are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit cannot possess you. But the evil spirit can oppress you. You know, create fear in you. But the evil spirit cannot harm you because you are the child of God. That's why the Spirit cried out to these Jews, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? See, because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see something. In verse 18, we are told that many came and confessed, believed in Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, Paul had a very effective ministry in Ephesus. Many believed in Jesus Christ. And what was the evidence of their belief? You see this in verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought through their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Magical arts books were burnt. And they counted that in all it was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, I do not know what is the price of silver today. Okay? But a commentary says that it would easily have worth $4 million. Alright. Can you imagine? $4 million worth of books were burned. Was it worthwhile to burn this book? Yes! Because these are books that led people astray. These are books that taught people to use the evil spirit as their power. Okay. But what we want to see is this, that when a person is truly converted, it doesn't matter how much it costs him. When he knew that it is wrong, it is something sinful, he will give them up. Okay? And this is true belief. Alright? Is that worthwhile to do that? Obviously it's worthwhile. If you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last year or the year before, I was called to remove some idols from a family. This family has been coming to New Life Singapore for a while, and they decided to have the idols. You know, in Singapore, Chinese family has a lot of idols, huh? And asked me to go and remove it. So I went with two deacons to the house, and when we entered the house, we realized that these are not typical idols. Alright? I do not know when I say that you understand, but I think many of us who are from Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia would understand. Okay? You have an altar and then you have some statues there. His altars, his statues are decorative art. Okay? In other words, he has a huge piece of crystal. And then inside it, an image of a god. And that is worth a lot of money. You know? And when we started to collect all this, we realized that it filled half a van. You know a van? In Singapore, most churches will have what we call a church van. It filled half the van. And so we started to look at each piece and say, if this piece costs this much, this piece costs this much. That day, that household had a six-figure sum of idols cleared. Okay. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, that you see, when a person truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not look at how much are those things. He looks at it and says, should I keep them? He says, no. You know? I will destroy them. Do we have idols? Our idols are really sometimes very small. Okay. Now, idols sometimes can be something that is not material. You can't touch. Okay. You can't even see, maybe. An idol is something that we place before God. We deem as more important than God. If we deem money as more important than God, that is our idol. If we deem a person more important than God, that is an idol. God forbid that we should have any idol. God help us to keep away from idols. We have only one God and we serve Him. See, our focus must be on that one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, don't get me wrong. The Bible did not say, don't love your wife, don't love your husband, you know. Don't honor your parents. No. Alright? This we are commanded to do. Love our spouse, honor our parents. But when we come to worship, we worship one living God. And since we worship Him as God, then we must deem Him as the most important person in our life. May God help us from the story recorded in Acts chapter 19. We see that there's this group of people who have trusted in Jesus Christ. They followed Him wholeheartedly. Alright. They were not held back by material things. Probably that what I'm trying to say is the books. Okay. So may God help us to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the instruction from your word. May you bless your people. We want to worship and serve you and you only. Give us grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.